Thank you for downloading Business Matters from the BBC World Service, broadcast 5 days a week at 8 a.m. Singapore time and 8 p.m. New York time.
Hello and welcome to Business Matters. I'm Mark Whittaker. On the programme today, the world's third biggest democracy is electing its new president. Will democracy itself be in safe hands, though, regardless of the result? Also today, in Sao Paulo. Now, they're going to the polls just about now, in fact, to elect a new president for the world's third largest democracy. Indonesia is also the most populous Muslim country and a nation which for more than 30 years laboured under the dictatorship of General Suharto. It's now a country with a free press and a generally tolerant society which sees itself as one of the champions of moderate Islam. But this election is seen as pivotal, because going to head-to-head in what's expected to be a very close contest are the former governor of Jakarta and a one-time military commander implicated in death squads and abductions during the Suharto years. So what are the prospects for Indonesian democracy? The BBC's Indonesia editor, Karishma Vaswani.
Suharto, a strong man and dictator who ruled Indonesia for 32 years. At his museum in central Java, grainy recordings of his successes are played on repeat, a reminder of the man who is as close to king in this country as you can get. I'm standing in Suharto's birthplace. What was once a tiny, humble shack is now an entire museum dedicated to him. At the front of the museum, a 3-meter-tall statue made out of bronze, an imposing reminder of the former general. This man is revered as a demigod here, and his legacy is still strong, even today. I miss him, and the days when he was in charge, this woman told me. I still get emotional when I think about him, this man said. He left a fine legacy for our country. But the legacy also included this. A deadly uprising that forced General Suharto from power in 1998. The allure of a strongman hasn't faded in Indonesian politics, though. This rock video, using a popular Queen hit, was made as a tribute to Prabowo Subianto, Suharto's son-in-law and former head of Indonesia's notorious special forces. One of the singers was wearing a Nazi commander uniform. Prabowo thanked the artists for the music video. It became an international controversy, just like his path to presidency. For Raharja Jati, a Prabowo presidency is unthinkable. He was one of dozens of anti-Suharto activists kidnapped and tortured by Indonesia's special forces when Prabowo was in charge.
Prabowo shouldn't be president because he has committed human rights abuses. His track record has shown he isn't compatible with democracy. He still thinks like a military commander.
Prabowo was dismissed from the military for his role in the kidnappings, but Jati says he must be held accountable. Running against him is Joko Widodo, a political outsider. His humble beginnings have inspired his supporters to compose a song about him, praising his honesty and working-class roots. But his critics say he is inexperienced.
This is a new Indonesia.
Sandiaga Uno is one of the wealthiest men in Indonesia and Prabowo's campaign spokesman.
The people want strong, decisive, firm leaders, and they want strong Indonesia. And they want Indonesia that is also out there playing the international role. He himself represents a very open, progressive Indonesia.
Back at the Suharto Museum, an old song drafted in his praise blares out of the speakers. This election is the most divisive Indonesia has ever seen. And it's being cast as a choice between the Indonesia that could be and what it once was.
That's the BBC's Karishma Vaswani. My guests on Business Matters today are Alexis Goldstein in Washington and Elizabeth Pisani, who's here in London. Elizabeth is the director of a public health consultancy called Ternyata. And Elizabeth, Ternyata is, I believe, an Indonesian word, isn't it? What does it mean?
It means that things don't always turn out the way you expect, more or less. And I think that this election is going to be a very key test of that concept.
Well, Indonesia is a country you know very well. In fact, you've even written a book about it, and that's called Indonesia, Etc., Exploring the Improbable Nation. Is this an improbable election? Because we're used to, in a lot of Western countries, having two candidates that you can't tell much between them. But these two, Prabowo and Widodo, they are poles apart, aren't they?
They are indeed. And it's what's really interesting about it is that one represents one is basically the product of the post-Suharto years. Widodo is someone who was elected mayor of quite a small town, completely unknown, no big party backing. But he did such a good job as mayor. He was re-elected with 90% of the vote for a second term. He was really, really popular, and that gave him a springboard onto the national stage. He then became governor of Jakarta, also quite improbably, funnily enough, with the backing of Prabowo, who he's now running against. And he's really has no ties with the old order. Prabowo is entirely a creature of the Suharto years. He was his son-in-law. He ran the special forces of the military under Suharto. And he has said point blank that he wishes to return to the 1945 constitution, the original constitution of Indonesia, presidency with absolute power, nearly presidency for life, no term limits, rolling back the sort of decentralization that has happened in the post-Suharto years that's given people outside of Java a much greater access to services.
And yet, despite the fact that he's saying all this, there's a strong chance that he could win this election. It seems that there's a lot of Indonesians are hankering for that kind of old-style hard man.
That's what they say to the pollsters. I've spent last year travelling in the outer islands mostly, but also in rural Java, and staying with people for, you know, people would invite me to stay and I'd stay with a farmer or a fisherman or whatever for 3 or 4 days, for a week. And people who's come out with this, oh, we need a strong man, after a couple of hours and a couple of glasses of tea or a couple of days in their household, say, yeah, but, you know, actually, we've got much better services now. We, you know, are locally, all the leaders now are locally elected at the district level. That's something that Prabowo would roll back. And that gives people a sort of control over the politicians that they've never had before. So I think that what they say to the pollsters may be different from what they do in the polling booth, but there's no way of knowing.
Now, you were in Indonesia first during the Suharto years, so you've seen the transition. It seems a peculiar regime that he was in charge of. I mean, this doctrine of Pancasila, what was that?
It's basically a fudge factor. Indonesia, as the title of my book suggests, it's a very improbable nation. It really shouldn't be a country at all. It's an accident of the cupidity of Dutch merchants more than anything else. But it's, you know, 13,000 plus islands stretching over a distance that's the equivalent of London to Tehran, over 360 ethnic groups, over 400 languages. You know, on one side you've got Arabs practically, and actually on the other side you've got Melanesians. It really doesn't hang together as a country. And so it's had to do a lot of fudging, and the Pancasila doctrine was a way of fudging stuff. So we believe in one God, but we're not going to say which God, because actually we have many different beliefs in this country, although it's obviously a majority Muslim nation. So about 88% of the population are Muslim, but there's also sizable minorities of Christians and other religions. So we have belief in one God. Then we have a sort of fudge factor for socialism. You know, it's a big fudge that allows you not to say anything that offends any group very particularly. But interesting, Pancasila was invented by Sukarno, Indonesia's first president, and it was reinvented by Suharto, who was politically the polar opposite of Sukarno. And now it's being hijacked by both of these candidates who have completely different political
positions. So the central tenet of it then is just to maintain power, to maintain authority.
The central tenet is to maintain national unity any way we can.
Fascinating. Briefly, are you worried that Indonesia could go back to the old days?
I think it's a real possibility.
Elizabeth, thanks very much indeed. You're listening to Business Matters. Now, it's become the latest...